We're here with Carla Bonoff, and Carla's got a few shows coming up this coming weekend. She is in Pennsylvania Friday. She is in New Jersey Saturday, and on Sunday at 7 p.m., Carla is at
the Town Crier in Beacon, New York.
Along with, I don't think you have an opening act, do you?
No.
Opening act. Okay. So, however you are, have your accompanist, Nita Gerber, with you, who's an excellent, excellent guitar player. So the first thing I wanted to say is, you know, it's great to have you back on tour. And question, what did you do to keep yourself busy during the pandemic? Did you find that time productive from a songwriting point of view? My understanding in doing a little research is that, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not very productive songwriting wise, but did the pandemic change any of that for you?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, at first it was kind of fun to just do nothing and sort of hibernate like other people did, you know, make sourdough bread and stuff, but and it got a little bit boring. So I have a musician and producer I work with that lives, you know, where I live, and we work also with a licensing agent. So he was like, do you guys have any Christmas music, you know? We could license some stuff right now. And so we thought, well, let's just go record some stuff for fun. It wasn't meant to be an album or anything. We were just messing around. So we recorded one or two things, and it started to be really fun. So we just kept going and going. And so it turned into a whole holiday CD. I would have never done that, I don't think, if I wasn't just sitting around like that. If I was working, I wouldn't have planned to do that. So it was super fun and a surprise, you know, and it came out really well, and we've been adding new songs to it. As you know, each year we've added a duet with Michael McDonald, and we'll probably add another one for next year. So that was a surprise, and wasn't really songwriting, but was very creative and fun to kind of pick songs and arrange them. And so that was my COVID gift. And we stayed in a little bubble, just he and I and one or two other musicians, and stayed well and worked on that for quite a bit of the time.
Very cool. It's you know, I love that, you know, we're able to put our spin as songwriters on other people's stuff or standards, whatever it happens to be. And that's very cool. I did see that on your website that you had the holiday album out. So you've been writing since your teen years. Can you pinpoint something, an event, or something that you heard that, you know, made you stand up and say, you know what, I have something to say, I need to write, I need to be a songwriter? Was there a moment that hit you like that, or was it just something that over listening to, you know, people that you did?
You know, I think it was just kind of the buildup of just incredible artists that were coming out when I was maybe 16, 15. You know, there was so much incredible music kind of coming out, and I was so drawn to it and so inspired by it. I think I just kind of fell into it, you know, starting with early more folk music, maybe Judy Collins and even like, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary when I was really young. And then, you know, that kind of spun into sort of Joni Mitchell and Laura Nyro. And that was what I was listening to. And so I just wanted to do that. You know, it was really kind of no choice for me. It just seemed like what a great thing to do.
Yeah, that's funny that you mentioned all of those. I have an older sister who's I'm 65. She's 4.5 years older than me. And that was exactly what she had on her turntable and what I grew up listening to. And it was just so inspiring to
hear
those people.
I mean, we were lucky, I think, to grow up in that time. And that music felt new. I mean, I think, you know, Joni Mitchell, when I first heard that, and I was like, wow, I've never heard anything like that. It was some whole new sound, you know, with those tunings and just the way she was writing. I mean, it wasn't like anything I'd ever heard before. And the same thing with Laura Nyro to some extent. You know, so, I mean, obviously so many years have gone since then, and so many people have been inspired by that. But I think people forget that at the time we were at, I mean, there really wasn't anything that had come before that was like that.
Yeah, very, very true. It's funny you mentioned Peter, Paul, and Mary. That was the first concert I ever went to. I think I was 12 years old at the old Westchester County Center, and I was like sitting there in just in awe of it all. You know,
it's the first concert I ever went to too. My dad took me to the Hollywood Bowl to see them.
Oh my God, that's so cool! Wow. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your writing process. I know that you took piano lessons early on. Like I think it was somewhere like around the age of six that you had said I had listened to an interview, and you stuck with that for a while. Through your writing process, do you have an instrument which is a preferable instrument for your songwriting, or do you go to both the piano and the guitar? I know you played clarinet back in school, but I doubt that you go to that.
Yeah. No, I did that for probably 6 months and gave that up. I think the cool thing about playing piano and guitar is if you get stuck on one and you're not inspired, you can put that down and go to the other one. So I always felt grateful that I had these two very different kind of instruments because I think I write very differently on those. It's easier to kind of write up-tempo stuff on guitar in a way for me. And, you know, the piano is kind of physically easier to play in some ways. So sometimes when I'm just tired or I don't have a lot of energy, you know, playing the piano just is more relaxing. So it's great, I think, to kind of have both. And some days I'm not really in the mood for one, so I'll go to the other one.
Okay, that's cool. On the subject of writing, let me ask you this: Have you been writing at all? A little bit. You probably always have something going on in your head that you're working on, somewhat lyrics or melody. I know your melodies really come first for you, from what I've heard. But anything going on, or?
You know, I have to say I haven't been writing that much in the last couple of years. I've kind of just gotten out of the habit. It's not that I don't want to. It's just we're on the road a lot, and then I come home, and I kind of forget about it, and then, oh, it's time to pack again and go out again. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that was just, oh, my God, I have to write today, or I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a song. I mean, I was never one of those people I wish that I was, but for me, I really have to push myself to do it. I have to schedule it. I have to sit down and make time for it and stop, you know, running around in my garden or playing with my pets. And I'm just really bad about that. I don't force myself to do it. And for me, it was always like that. I had to really sit down and go, all right, I'm going to sit and play for 30 minutes. And and usually I could write if I make myself do it. It's like I'm just very undisciplined, and that's kind of always been a problem for me.
I understand. It's not easy. It's I mean, you know, in what you said about people who wake up in the middle of the night and have, you know, lyrics and a song in their head. It's just, I'm so envious as you are. I wish it was like that.
Yeah. But I know. And I mean, I think someone like Bob Dylan, he's just always writing words on pieces of paper everywhere. And like, wow, I wish my, you know, I don't have that brain. That's a whole different, it's a whole different thing than I've ever known. For me, it's very, you know, it's very scheduled, and I have to really kind of make it happen.
Sure. Understood. You know, here's a question for you. Is there a song or an album of yours that is your favorite? And along those lines, you know, akin to Joni Mitchell when she released her greatest hits called Hits and Misses, is there a song or songs that flew under the radar that you think should have been more popular or could have been hits?
Well, I mean, I think some of it gets down to production. I mean, I think both my first and second albums had hits on them. It's songs on them. Now, whether we made hit records out of them, I don't know. You know, and I think some of it's just timing. My first record, I think the record company just wasn't quite on board enough. And had they been, I think that had hit songs on it. My second album, I think we this is weird, but I think the tempos were too slow. I think there were hit songs like Baby Don't Go and Trouble Again. I just don't think we made them into hit records. So I think that was maybe our fault. By the time I got to my third record, I think I figured that out. And personally, I think was, you know, everything about that came together. So, you know, there's so much involved in sort of making it a song for radio. I've learned a lot more about it now, but a lot of it's in production and tempos and things like that.
Yeah. You know, I have all three of your Columbia albums in front of me right now, and I'm looking at, you know, Restless Nights, and, you know, I mean, honestly, my favorite is, you know, is your first one, and I've had this thing in my head about people's first albums, which is we have not an unlimited amount of time to write for the first album, but, you know, we have 10 years or 15 years, and we kind of, it's almost like a greatest hits thing that we're putting together on a first album. The second album is like more pressure. Did you find that also?
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I had 10 years to write the songs for my first album, and that was the best of the best. By the time I got my record deal and set foot in the studio, I mean, I had those songs and Kenny Edwards and I had been playing them live and working on them, and you know, we'd had those kind of there. And so we were very prepared and to make that record. And so I feel like, yeah, that's my favorite album too. I mean, not just sentimentally, but I think it just really came together with all the right pieces and the right musicians. And so I agree with you. And then I, you know, that record came out and it was doing well. And then I was out on the road immediately opening for Jackson Browne and playing my own dates and, you know, really busy and busy and busy. And then you come home and they're like, okay, we want another album. And it's like, oh my God, I don't have any songs for that, you know? So then you're under this pressure, A, to live up to the first one, B, to suddenly write, you know, 10 or 11 or 12 songs quickly and get in the studio because they want another record like a year later. And you've already taken up 6 months of that touring. So, I found that to be difficult. And kind of challenging. I mean, I felt like my second album was good and it had a lot of good things on it. And, like I said, I think the production could have been a little bit different, but, I think first albums have that magic of, you know, you prepare, you know, your whole life for them pretty much.
Right. You know, I really think your first album could have been and should have been more of a hit. But I suppose having Linda Ronstadt, you know, covering three of those, you know, Lose Again, If He's Ever Near, and Someone Will Lay Down Beside Me, she had already had them out, I believe, on Hasten Down the Wind. So I think that probably stole a little bit of your thunder from that album, but I don't know. What's your thought on that?
Maybe. I mean, she had him out 6 months earlier. I mean, if you could look at the other side of it, is there was so much interest in me and in my record and everything about me because she had done these songs and you know, and she was extremely popular. So if she hadn't done them, I mean, the other side of the coin is that I might have gone much more unnoticed.
Okay.
So I think it's, you know, obviously we'll never know the answer to that.
Sure. Well.
But, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot when you come out with a new record and you're a new artist and anything that you have to, you know, that kind of helps people pay attention to you. I think I got a lot of people interested in doing interviews and all kinds of things that maybe wouldn't have happened. You know, it was a way to kind of get attention too.
Sure, sure. I wanted to ask you a question about co-writing. I know on Restless Nights, you co-wrote a couple of songs with Kenny Edwards, Trouble Again and Baby Don't Go. The question I had for you is, have you co-written? And I wish I knew the answer to this, but I'm asking you since I don't know. Have you co-written with anybody else over the years?
I've written a few songs I'm really proud of with Wendy Waldman.
Oh, okay.
because we, you know, we all grew up together in our band Brindle, and so there's a certain kind of comfort that comes with people you know really well like that, that you're used to playing and writing with. So she and I wrote a few songs I really like. Kenny was more like the great sort of editor. You'd kind of go, I've got all this and I'm really stuck and I just don't know what to do. And then he would write a great bridge. So he would kind of come in after, you know, I'd have most of it and then, you know, just contribute that last really missing link.
That's great.
So that's a little different than Wendy and I would kind of sit down together and start from scratch. We wrote for a couple movie thing projects and things like that.
That's interesting. I've never tried to do that. I actually, you know, I never would have co-written years ago, but my girlfriend, Melanie Birdie, is an excellent lyricist, and she's just, in some ways, transformed my writing to, you know, I don't want to say a different level, but, you know, it is different having somebody else write with you. I think it opens you up a bit. I remember, you know, I did an interview a few years back with Slade Cleaves. He was opening up, he was doing a show at Daryl's house in Pawling, New York, and I got to interview him prior, and he told me that he always thought he was a good writer, but once he started writing with other people, he felt that it, I don't know, it somehow opened his music up a little further. So, you know, maybe with Wendy, I don't know if that's something that you can relate to or not.
Well, yeah, or definitely, you know, I mean, she's kind of more, you know, she kind of went to Nashville for a long time and she kind of really got good at just sitting in a room with any stranger and writing.
Wow.
And so, you know, when I'm kind of stuck and can't get things going, I mean, she's just great at sort of getting the wheels turning. Mm-hmm. And getting things going when I think, oh, no, that's not good. You know, she just keeps pushing, you know, and I've found that we end up with stuff that's great. And I would have maybe, if I was by myself, I might have actually stopped, you
okay.
know, going, yeah, that's not good enough. So sometimes it's just the, you need kind of like, you know, the team leader, you know, just to kind of keep things moving too.
Sure.
So there's a lot of aspects of it that I think are, you know, just emotional, you know,
yeah.
If you're by yourself and your inner critic starts going, I don't know, I don't think that's good. And be with another person and they can go, no, let's keep working on this. So for me, sometimes it's just having a cheerleader really helps too.
That's great. Wow. Back when you were younger, writing with your sister, Lisa, and you guys were called, oh gosh, what was the...
The Daughters of Chester P.
And now it's your dad's name, right?
Yes. Chester Paul.
That I thought that was so cool when I read that. So you were writing at that time, it seems like lyrics was not your thing back then. It was more along the melodies and writing the music, and your sister was writing lyrics, I think, back then. Was that what
yeah.
it was?
I hadn't really written lyrics at all, but I was writing music and, you know, inventing melodies. And she was always kind of more lyrically oriented, would write poetry. And one day we just said, let's just kind of put this together. So she wrote all the lyrics and I wrote all the music.
Cool. Very
yeah.
cool. When you sit down on the keyboard, piano, how do you come about getting a melody? Do you just start, you know, going through some chord progressions, or do you have something in mind, or, you know, I'm just trying to pick your brain on that.
No, I don't have anything in mind, but I think that there's certain chords and chord progressions that move me. And other ones that kind of don't.
Okay.
And so for me, it's about finding that just really cool chord or that really cool progression. And, you know, if it's good enough, it inspires me to write lyrics. If it's boring to me, then I kind of have trouble writing, you know, making it into a song. So I just do a lot of playing and kind of hope that I'm going to get that magical thing, like someone to lay down beside me, like that lick.
Oh, God.
You know, it's just hope that, you know, someone from up above to gift you with one of those moments. You know?
What you just said, a gift, I have that written down because you said that in an interview somewhere. And you know, I can so totally relate that, you know, you sit down and it's like something happens and something, whether it comes from up above or a part of your brain or whatever it happens to be. And it's just people who don't write, you know, will never know that, but it's really an amazing feeling, as you know. It's just so
yes.
cool.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, that's the magic of it, I think. And, you know, just you have to kind of be that channel and let that come through you. And it's not always easy, you know, because certainly we judge ourselves and block things. And but I mean, if you probably felt that feeling, you can tell when you just sort of open and you can, and that stuff can kind of come through you. It's pretty cool.
There's nothing like it. It really isn't. I only have a couple of more questions for you. I wanted to talk to you about, you know, what you did in 2019 with Carry Me Home and how that all came about for you.
Well, you know, Nina and I had been, after Kenny Edwards passed away, we tried to replace him and it just didn't work. And so we just started playing the two of us and it kind of morphed into something different and good. And I just thought, you know, I mean, I'm playing songs that I wrote when I was 22, but I think they, you know, a lot of people don't have the opportunity to get out to a show. And I thought I really should record how this stuff sounds now, the way we play it kind of unplugged. And it would be just nice to document it. I don't know if it'll come out good enough or what, but she just came out and we took a weekend and just played all the songs, just played through them like we would. And then I spent some time afterwards, you know, doing some overdubs, a few things on them and maybe re-singing them and stuff. And it just came out really good. So it just seemed like people would appreciate having that on a CD. So that's how it came about. And I had that one new song to put on there and the Jackson Browne song that I had recorded for another project. So it was nice to kind of put all that together.
Yeah. The only other question I had for you, you know, we're obviously getting the word out for your show on Sunday night. And, you know, I've seen you a number of times. So for people who haven't seen you, Carla, what are they going to see Sunday night when they go to the Town Crier? What do you think?
Well, I mean, songs from, you know, all of my albums and some newer stuff and lots of stories about kind of how all these things came about and, you know, tying it all together through the years. And they will see Nina Gerber, who is just a phenomenal guitar player.
Yes, she is.
And hopefully just have a nice kind of trip down memory lane and a good emotional time.
Indeed. Well, I'm going to see you up there. That's for sure.
I'm going to come up. Okay, great.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I wouldn't miss it. And for those of you listening on this podcast, get up to the Town Crier Sunday night. You can get tickets at the Town Crier website, which is towncrier.com. Go there and reserve your seats, and you're going to be in for a great night of music with Carla and Nina. I thank you so much for calling in and doing this interview, and I look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, Carla. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.